Hi, guys. The show continues. That's right. We're back at Flappers in Burbank, April 2nd. That's Sunday, April 2nd, 7 o'clock in the evening. Look forward to seeing you guys there on stage. Gina Grad. Think Anna might make a little appearance and sign your books. If you don't have a book, she will sell you a book. Come on out. Flappers, April 2nd. That's a Sunday evening, 7 o'clock. You have questions. We have answers. Flappers.com. Go right now. Do that. See you there.
He's Hollywood's go-to guy for health and fitness. It's Fitness Confidential with celebrity fitness trainer Vinny Tortorich.
Your good intentions have been stolen, and I'm here to help you get them back. I am Vinny Tortorich, and folks, here we are again on the Friday show. This is the one where we go one-on-one with a luminary, somebody in the field that knows what can only be considered a shit ton more of information than I will ever know. I get off on smart people. I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine, as the song once said. God, that was, the 80s was such a weird time for music, but I'll now have to remember what that song is. I just remembered that line from a song, and I can't remember what song it was. But I will find that song during this podcast, and we will break in, and I will play it. While I'm waiting to figure that out, folks, I got a guy on here. I came across this guy, I think, on Twitter. Anyone who knows anything about me know that I spend a ton of time on Twitter answering just every question. The only time I don't answer a question is if someone is trying to bait me, or they're fishing, or they're trying to sell onto something, or if it's some pornography thing that's trying to get me to answer, whatever it is. Otherwise, you ask a question, I will give an answer. I promise, even if I've answered it one bazillion times before. And somehow I came across this guy, and I went, pretty smart guy. Think I might want to have him on the show. Next thing you know, here he is. He is a PhD. He's got a degree in biochemistry, and his name is Anthony G. G as in girl. J-A-Y, Anthony J, or if you guys want to, you could call him Dr. Anthony J. Dr. J, wait a minute. Wow, that just came to me, Dr. J. This guy's probably too young to even know who Dr. J was, but let's find out. Anthony, you're obviously there. I hear you laughing at my stupid jokes. Do you know who Dr. J is?
I only because my name is essentially Dr. J now, yes. And I live in Boston.
Does anyone ever say, hey, man, Dr. J, you got the same name as one of the greats?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, my dad is a doctor, too, from the Mayo Clinic. So, you know, I kind of grew up with the Dr. J thing.
Humble brag. Look, I mean, the bottom line is Dr. J, back when I was a kid, he was the first guy that they named a shoe after. Of course, there was before that, there was Chuck Taylor's, which is still popular with the kids. Which was a great basketball shoe back in the day. It was a high top canvas, but now that's what all the cool kids wear. You know, the Chuck Taylors, and there was a John Wooden. The Beta Company made one called the John Wooden. So there were names to basketball shoes, but the first time there was ever a large national campaign. My friend, who is now no longer with us, a guy by the name of Joe Dean, went out and signed Julius Erving, aka Dr. J, to a big Converse contract. And they started doing these commercials on television and everything else. The world had never seen anything like that. And the commercials went, hey, Dr. J, where'd you get those moves? You must be wearing magic shoes. You know, it was like this whole thing. And, you know, Dr. J is like flying through the air. You know, and it was just this amazing thing that we had never seen before on television. And nice. Julius Erving, Dr. J. And look at this. Now I'm talking to Dr. J. Folks, I'm famous. Oh, my God.
All right. I've heard of the Jordans, but I didn't know any of that backstory. That's good.
Yeah, well, you know, that look, I mean, that's why people listen to this show. Because I have what can only be known as useless information, and or as I like to call it, little known and even less cared for facts. I was talking about early in the show. You may have heard me. I said I get my kicks above the waistline sunshine, and that came from a song by Murray Head. The song is called One Night in Bangkok, and you can't hear it, but the audience can hear it right now. So let's play a little bit of it. Let's see if this is it. Is this it? Do I have the right song? Yeah, this is it. God, the 80s was such a weird time. Wow. There's that famous line. I get my kicks above the waistline, sunshine. And, you know, by the way, I had to go through 3 minutes of song just to find, actually 2 minutes I played that song just to find that line. But, man, the 80s was such a weird time. How old were you in 1984 when that came out?
That's my birthday.
Wow. Is that when you were born?
That's right, yeah.
Unbelievable. I was graduating college then, you know. And that's yeah. That song was popular that year.
Must have been
meaning
a time, yeah.
Your parents could have made you to that song. That's all I'm saying. Yep.
We'll change the subject on that one.
I'm just saying, your doctor daddy over there.
Yeah,
that's what happened. They were having a little genius right there, listening to One Night in Bangkok by Murray Head. Murray Head. I mean, come on. It sounds like, you know, there's a Murphy bed, and somebody go, hey, what kind of head did your wife give you last night? Oh, she gave me Murray Head. Oh, yeah. It's the best kind of head to get.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, so listen, I got intrigued with you because you're one of those super smart people that have to now deal with an idiot like me in order to sell a book. But here we are. Folks, our friend Anthony G.J., Dr. J., has a nonprofit organization out there called the International Medical Research Collaborative. It deals a lot with things like estrogen. He's got a book out there called Estrogen Eration. Is that what it's called? Estrogen Eration?
Estrogeneration.
Yeah, Estrogeneration.
Yep, combination of estrogen and generation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, that just rolls right off the fucking tongue. You see, you doctors are too smart for your own good. You guys should come to me when you need a title for a book. But by any rate, tell us a little bit about estrogen. Estrogen seems to be one of those words that comes around. Everything has estrogen in it now. Every time I look around, as a matter of fact, I had someone on a show about 2 years ago, and I can't remember who it was, but I do remember what she or he said. Whenever you get like that, you go shopping, right? And they give you that receipt.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm talking about? That shiny receipt, the one that they want you to sign at the bottom.
Yeah.
And it, like the ink never works on it because there's some kind of, you know, a chemical on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was told that, you should never touch those things because whatever that chemical is will cause some kind of estrogen reaction or, you know, don't rub your eyes after you touch one of those things. Do you know anything about that, or is that some kind of bullshit that someone just laid on me?
Wow, I don't know about that one specifically, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised. I mean, if they're coating it with some kind of phthalate or BPA, right? just to make
that's the word BPA. Everything comes out BPA, BPA, BPA. Explain to the audience and pretend we're all in second grade what a BPA is and how it reacts.
Yeah, so a BPA is a basically a plastic ingredient that they make plastic from, and I mean that's why it's bad, right? I mean you see BPA free now because people recognize it's bad for your health, but it's bad because it acts like estrogen in your body. So it's called an estrogenic, right? So it acts like estrogen. It fools your body into thinking. So in other words, you get all these, you know, these adverse health problems like breast cancer and infertility and other things. I mean, you mess up your hormones, and you know, it gets, I have a whole top 10 list in my book. And one of the interesting things is, you know, if they make, say they make BPA illegal, right?
Right.
Well, people switch over to BPS, bisphenol S. You know, they just literally change the small, a minor group on the chemistry, and they just start making BPS, or they make plastic with phthalates. And it's interesting because phthalates are also estrogenic. They also act like estrogen in our body. So, I mean, there's a lot of problems with plastic that people are just barely, you know, the scientists, they know this, right? But a lot of people aren't hearing about it. I mean, like I said, they are hearing that BPA is bad, but a lot of people don't realize it's bad because it's estrogenic.
Okay, but so even when they change it, so in other words, after my cancer, and I noticed someone else who had cancer, what's her name? The singer. She was dating Lance Armstrong for 5 minutes. She had breast cancer.
Okay. I'm not sure.
Come on, help me out.
Oh, boy. Remember, I was born in the 80s.
No. She's very recent. I don't know why I'm not there. Everyone is yelling into their phones right now in subways while they're listening to this, going, come on, it's, you know, yeah. I'll think of her name in a minute. Anyway, after I had cancer, I started looking at everything. That's why I even started Pure Vitamin Club, because I wanted to make a pure product when I didn't have all kinds of stuff in it. And I want to ask you about that in a minute, but one of the things is, okay, I've been drinking out of these plastic kind of squishy water bottles for years. Mm-hmm. You know, I pour water in them. I go out for a ride. Sometimes I have 5 of them on the bike with me, and the sun is beating on that plastic because when I'm drinking the water, it's hot. There has to be leaching. You know, we started hearing Sheryl Crow is the name I'm trying to come up with.
Oh, yeah.
And Sheryl Crow was a big proponent after she had breast cancer, and she was like, oh, my God, you know, BPAs, BPAs, BPAs. And so I went out and spent a lot of money on these different bottles. I spent a lot of money on them. I can't tell you the name of them because I just can't remember. Uh-huh. And I started using those when I rode. They were more of a hard plastic. They were more crystal clear. You could see through them. But they were made out of a non-BPA plastic, and I use those. And, of course, when you're drinking the water from those, it tastes a lot better. It doesn't have that plasticky taste when it, you know, when it gets hot from 110-degree weather out here in SoCal.
Right.
But then someone told me, oh, yeah, it's leaching shit off of that, too.
It could.
What say you about all of that?
Yeah. I mean, it could be. That's the thing. You don't know. It's hard to tell because they won't tell you if it's got phthalates. And a lot of plastics have phthalates. So, you know, people are saying BPA free and they're letting you know that there's no BPA free, but a lot of times they don't tell you whether or not there's phthalates. And phthalates are just as bad as BPA and just as estrogenic, if not worse. Right. And I mean, breast cancer, it's something. It's up 256% since 1980. And a lot of that is because of, you know, the plastics. But also because fragrances, and I mean, there's a lot of sources that we have. I mean, like, Vinny, did you know that polar bears have they find in northern Alaska, they're finding parabens in polar bears?
I didn't know that. And where are they getting it from? Where is, you know, polar bears don't shop at 7-Eleven. Where are they getting it from?
Yeah, they're getting from the ocean currents. So I guess all this, you know, all this junk is draining into the ocean. Essentially, it's going around the globe now. And there, you know, the fish are essentially soaking it up, and then it goes right up the food chain. So, I mean, parabens are another one, right? Phthalates, parabens, and I think people don't talk about phthalates as much in plastic because the name is so goofy. I mean, you know, as a biochemist, it's kind of normal for me to hear strange names like that. But BPA is a lot easier to talk about than phthalates, right? It's spelled P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S. It means it's crazy spelling. But
what is a phthalate, to be perfect? You know, just give it to us. Again, we're in second grade. Explain to me what a phthalate is.
So phthalates are used kind of as stabilizers for plastic. They improve the rigidity or the clarity or the, you know, different properties of plastic. They're not the plastic ingredient, but they're additives to the plastic, which makes it worse because they leach out of the plastic even easier than BPA leaches out. You know, like I said, some plastics don't have phthalates, but they usually don't tell you that. It's hard to know. So I'm a big fan of people saying estrogenic free, right? Just put estrogenic free on the label, and that means it doesn't have parabens, doesn't have phthalates, it doesn't have BPA, right? It doesn't have any of these things. And then we know, because, you know, we don't know a lot of times. And that's the thing. You talked about your water bottle, right? And it's clear, right? You said right. It's real nice and clear. Well, a lot of times those clear ones are worse for you because, you know, they add these chemicals to make them look better, to make them, you know, more appealing.
No, but I went out and specifically bought the ones that said BPA free.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
You know, I got that, but now you're telling me that it could have something, some other phthalate or whatever the hell you're calling it in there.
Yep. And they usually do, to be honest, but yeah. Yeah, it's
so. All right, so let's say I'm going for a bike ride today because people are going to listen to this and go, "Well, what should we use?" And you know, should I douche out and go buy all, you know, like stainless steel canisters and just use it? Because I will.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time, cancer is bad, but the thing that's really bad is chemo, and I never want to be on chemo again if I can help it.
Right.
You know, what would you tell me to put on my bicycle or take on a run or what have you? You know, Serena is doing these 50 and 100 mile races all the time now. And, right. You know, you asked me about Badwater before this thing started. She's getting ready to go do a Badwater race, Badwater Salton and Sea.
Wow.
She's going to be out in the desert and she's going to be sucking on this camelback thing. You know,
yep.
What should she be using?
Boy, I mean, you can use the plastic, just make sure it doesn't have phthalates, but
how do you make, that's what I'm asking. How do we make sure of that?
You gotta call the company in some cases, you know, but I mean, the long-term exposure is the bigger problem. So, I mean, yeah, one bad water race, you know, it's not ideal, but you can live with it. But if you're constantly being exposed every day, I mean, that's a lot more of an issue.
Anthony, let's think about this.
Yeah.
In order to run one of these races, she's out on the road between 70 and 90 miles a week, and she's carrying this backpack the entire time.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, it's worth calling the company in that case. You don't have a lot of choice. I mean, you probably don't have the choice. Steel or glass, obviously, that's too heavy, but you can find plastics without phthalates.
Wait, hang on. We're having a bad connection here for a second. Say something right now. Give me something.
Yep. Testing the moment.
Yeah. Testing. You're cutting out a bit. Here's what I'm going to do. Let's see if it clears up. I'm not going to cut you out yet.
Okay.
While we're waiting for you to get cleaner, I will tell people about one of our sponsors that is phthalate-free and BPA-free.
Good.
It's olive oil, folks. That's right. You want the good stuff? It ain't cheap. But we got somebody that sells it for a pretty damn good price. Not to mention it's the best olive oil on the planet. And I'm not saying that just because they write me a big whopping check every month. We talked about this company long before they were ever on this show. Anthony, I'm going to cut you off and call you right back. So I'm going to hang up on you and call you back on Skype again, all right?
Good.
So I'm hanging up. There we go. Anyway, folks, if you want the good stuff, you want Villa Capelli olive oil. You've heard me talk about it here on the show over and over and over again. We can't get enough of the stuff around here. You know, the Villa Capelli folks, they send it. Paul Capelli sends it. Stephen Crutchfield, they send it to us. It's fresh. I don't know how anyone lives without this stuff. I'm going to just be honest with you. Life is too short not to have the world's best olive oil. As you may or may not know, I love olive oil. I drink it. I don't just put it on food. I drink it for health. So if you want the best olive oil on the planet, get Villa Capelli olive oil. Go to vinnytortorice.com. Click through the banner, the Villa Capelli banner. When you get to checkout, put in the promo code Vinny, V-I-N-N-I-E. Do not put the wimpy Y on Vinny or you won't get your 10% discount. V-I-N-N-I-E. Get 10% off your entire order of Villa Capelli olive oil. We're talking to Dr. Anthony G. J., who the guy, you know, Anthony, are you back there? Do I have you back again?
I'm back, yeah.
Oh, good. You're a lot clearer now.
Good.
So it's frustrating because you science guys, you know, I get where you are, right? I get who you are and what you're doing. But when you say, well, just don't use the BPA water pack or don't use the bottles, and you say, well, in some cases, you got to call the company. Look, yeah. You know, when you call a company, nowadays you're talking to some guy in India. So yeah. Is there an easy way for the average Joe to maybe go online and maybe learn where there might be? Or and going back to what I said originally, should we be using stainless steel containers? Because I will. It's not as convenient, but I will. What would you do?
Yeah, I do. I use mostly glass if I can. I mean, it's cumbersome and... You know, and but especially with my kids, right? I've got three kids, and I literally get the San Pellegrino bottles, right? Those big green water, those glass bottles, and I reuse those, and I put them in the car, and I have a whole case of those, and I've got water bottles that have. I mean, you know, silicone is good too. Silicone, you can use that for the baby sippy cups and things like that. So, you know, that's lightweight.
But the bottom line is. You know, using glass bottles out on a trail, if you fall, you know, you have enough trouble when you fall. You don't need anything else to, you know, so.
Yeah, the ultra marathon situation, I mean, that's a unique thing. And I really don't, I can't point you to one specific website or something that, you know, had all the answers on that.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do more. Plastics, say again?
Well, in my... At the end of my book, I do talk about which numbers on plastics are better. All right. So sometimes there's recycled numbers on the plastics, right?
Yeah. Like they'll have like a little triangle and there'll be like a 2 or a 3 in it, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
All right. So I'm aware of that too. Now tell us what the numbers mean and which numbers are better. Let's get to better at least.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's 7 different numbers. And what they mean, what they signify is what the composition of the material is, right? So which plastic it is, essentially. So like number 7, for example, is BPA or BPS, right?
Okay.
So it's pretty straightforward. Obviously, nobody remembers all these different things, but, you know, there are all these long names like polyethylene chloride or whatever, polyvinyl chloride. But number 2... Number 4 and number 5 are the best ones. If you have to, you know, certainly want to stay away from 7. That's BPA.
Right.
And, you know, like I say, I go through the details at the end of my book because, you know, a lot of people wonder about it. But the simplest way to just remember is 2, 4, and 5. You know, those are the ones that are the safest.
All right. So when you find any kind of bottle, you want to find bottle number 2, number 4, or number 5.
If you have to go plastic, I still say glass is better. And especially if you're heating the plastic in a microwave, right? And right. Especially if you're sitting it out in the sun, like you were talking about with the bike ride. And I mean, you know, and here's the other thing that's interesting is that a lot, you know, these hormones act like fat, right? They're lipids. Right. So they, like if you put them in water, they float on the top of water, like that olive oil you're talking about.
Sure.
And that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, a lot of these artificial estrogens, they do the same thing, right? They act like estrogen. They float on water. So, I mean, if you have a bottle, like a plastic bottle with oil in it, okay, the oil is more likely to leach, the estrogen is more likely to leach into the oil than it would be likely to leach with water. Making sense?
Really?
Yeah, so it's the same thing with bacon. Something like that. If you've got a, you know, meat sitting in plastic, it's not as bad as if you have bacon sitting in plastic because the bacon is more conducive to transferring the estrogen. You know, the estrogen is transferring out more readily into the bacon, into anything fatty, right?
Well, you're saying right, like I understand that, but you're giving me information I've never heard before, and I find this completely fascinating because I literally, sometimes when I go on a bike ride, I will put a little coconut oil in my water bottle, in a plastic yep. water bottle, so yep. that I can have a little fat along the way. Again, now listen, I said a couple of times, what if I use stainless steel containers, and you keep saying glass. Is there a problem with using metal?
There's no problem, no.
Okay, because I'm not going to take glass out on the trail. It's just, you're begging for more problems, basically.
Now, personally, I think stainless has a little bit of a metallic flavor, just a little bit, and that's why I prefer glass, but I don't have any problem at all with stainless.
Okay, so stainless it is. I will go shopping, because we're out there a lot, and I realize it's a little cumbersome to do this sort of thing. And you used the word cumbersome, and I used it. And, of course, now I'm going to have to play my favorite song dealing with the word cumbersome here in a second. Oh, here it is. There we go. Yeah. 7 Mary 3 coming at you. Oh, somehow my computer does not want to work today. There it is.
She calls me to laugh and I wear the David mask. Yes, the storms are coming to face her now. You know I'd like to believe this nervousness will pay. All the stones that are thrown are building up the wall. I have become calm to soul.
Yep, there it is.
To this world.
You got to excuse me, Anthony, because everything in life reminds me of a song.
It's good.
I walk through life with a song in my head all day long. And you said cumbersome a while ago, and then I used the word cumbersome. So, therefore, we must play the song Cumbersome.
That's like, yeah, my kids are like that. Yeah. My girls argue in the car when we're driving. They argue whose song they get to sing, right?
So you're saying I'm like a kid is basically what I'm hearing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is good.
And of course, wait, here's a clip.
Hang on. For a minute.
Oh, I mean, with your future. Now. Your life.
Well, that's a little hard to say.
Ben.
Excuse me. Mr. McGuire.
Ben.
Mr. McGuire.
Come with me for a minute. I want to talk to you. Excuse us, Joanne.
Of course. Thank you.
I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
Plastics.
Exactly. How do you mean?
There's a great future in plastics. Think about it.
Yep, the great scene from the movie The Graduate, one word, plastics. Have you ever seen that movie, Anthony?
Yeah.
Or are you too young for that?
I've seen that one.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing, you know, that movie was out, what, in the early 70s, and, you know, plastics, Benjamin Plastics, you know.
And
that's what we're talking about today. And look, like everything that happened in the 70s, you know, we started eating heart-healthy grains. We started using plastics on everything. We started eating TV dinners. And look where we are now. We have more disease in the world than ever, right?
That's it. Oh, yeah, one-third. Yeah, breast cancer's way up. Allergies are way up. All three of those things, infertility, all four of those things, all connect to artificial estrogens. They're all linked.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, listen, here's what we're going to do, because I need to make this interview good, right? And it's not coming in well. So
okay.
What I'm going to do is, you have a cell phone there?
Yeah, let's do the phone, yeah.
Hang on. Go on.
I was going to say, I'm actually recording on my... I'm recording this on my end with a lav mic.
Yeah?
So I have an excellent sound quality that I can send your audio guy when we're all done with this.
We might do that, but hang on. Let me see. I'm going to call you here. Let me call you here on this line. I'm calling you. Pick up whenever you can.
There you go.
All right. Have you picked up? All right, so I'm going to move this over here. Let's see if I can do this. Okay, oh, yeah, say something.
Yeah, I got you on my phone.
Oh, boy, now I got to cut you off here. Okay, there we go. The audience loves when I do this. All right, now give me. Let's get another sound check. Go on.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, that sounds much better. I don't know why, but Skype just was not working today. So we're back. Yeah. We just won't be able to play any more Seven Mary Three and no more graduate stuff, but I'm pretty sure the audience will like that. I think they hate when I do that. So that's gone for today. Sorry, folks. Okay, so you have done a lot of research, right? And your big thing is estrogen. We're talking about estrogen. We're talking about BPAs slip into our water. There's something that you and I talked about the other day. And by the way, I have one other question. And everything bothers me in the world. You know, maybe I'm a little too aware of everything. Two smells that we love more than anything else, as far as men in the world, is we love the smell of bacon frying in a kitchen. And we love the new car smell.
Yeah.
I just bought a new car.
Yep.
And it's got the new car smell still.
Yep.
And
yep.
I can't wait to get in it every time because of the new car smell.
Yeah.
My question is, that smell is basically something leaching off of something else, right?
That's right. Yep. Yeah, okay, I can tell you just what that is.
Okay. Is it unhealthy for us?
Yes.
Okay. So, but there's nothing we can do about the new car smell. What do we ride around with the windows down for the first couple of months, or how do we combat against that? Or should we tell me all about the new car smell? I need to know because this has been on my mind because I have a 3-month-old car now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they found the crib mattresses, right? For like babies. They've got phthalate emissions from those, the plastic ones, and the car is the same thing. So they've got a lot of phthalate emissions. But here's another one that they've got. They've done studies, and they find benzophenone. Have you ever heard of this chemistry term, benzophenone?
No, never.
It's check your sunscreen and watch out for it. It's an estrogenic. It's an artificial estrogen chemical, and it's in a lot of the sunscreens, especially the cheap ones. I don't know if you use zinc sunscreen or something with a higher quality, but the cheap sunscreens, if you just go to the store and get the cheapest one you find, they almost always have benzophenone and this other chemical called 4-MBC, 4-methylbenzylene camphor. And,
do you see me calling you back? All right, I'm going to try this one more time on a computer because I wasn't having a great connection even on the phone. You're one of my favorite guests. And, all right, let's see what goes on there. Say something.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm back.
Okay, I'm back on that now. So cut your phone off. And to the audience, I do apologize, but I don't want them to miss a word. So go back to what you were saying about baby mattresses and benzophenone, and go on.
Yeah, they've actually done studies, believe it or not, on plastic baby mattresses, and they say the levels are concerning. The levels of phthalates these mattresses are emitting are concerning, and they exceed cancer benchmarks. Right. For what it's worth. And then the new cars, they have the same problem. They're emitting phthalates into the air. But they also have this sunscreen chemical called benzophenone. A lot of scientists just call it BP. And like I say, if you go to the store and you just find the cheapest sunscreen you can find, it's going to have benzophenone, BP, and 4-MBC. That's 4-methylbenzylene camphor. Again,
right.
huge chemistry names, really obnoxious. But, I mean, it is what it is, right? I mean, they're artificial estrogens, both of those compounds, benzophenone and 4-MBC, and that's why they're unhealthy, and that's why, you know, you should definitely switch to zinc sunscreen or at least anything without benzophenone and this other chemistry compound, like I say, 4-MBC. And by the way, the reason I brought BP up is because they've done a study and they found BP at high levels in cars, in new cars.
Right.
And, you know, they think it's because, I guess they add it, they don't, the scientists that do these studies, they didn't explain why it's in the cars, but I'm assuming it's because it protects the plastic that's in the car from degrading from the sun.
Right.
So, I mean, So yeah, that's estrogenic. So I guess the solution to that is, you know, it depends if how often you're sitting in your car, in your new car, you know, just a few minutes, not a big deal. But yeah, if you're spending a lot of time driving, you probably want to, you know, have the windows down, heat the car for like, let the car essentially get gas off, you know, like they do with potatoes or something when they have a lot of herbicides on them. Right.
Well, I mean, I'm everything gets to me in life. And, you know, one of the things I like on my cars, on any of them, mm-hmm. is clean windows. Just, you know, I want the glass that I'm looking out of to be clean. Yep. And I spend time, you know, wiping those things down inside and out.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, whenever I go to the car wash to get like my Jeep or any of that stuff washed, those guys never do a good job. You know, they just smear dirt around at the end, right? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You can see the film. So I come home and I'll take alcohol and I'll rub alcohol across the window. And then after that, I'll come back with an ammonia solution to get it crystal clear, because it would literally, I wouldn't see the cars in front of me because my eyes would concentrate on, you know, I can't not see things in life. I have that personality.
Yeah, gotcha.
Right.
Yep.
So
I do too, actually. Yeah.
It's a weird mindset. Not everyone is like that. And I wish I wasn't, but you know, I get hooked on the wrong stuff. But the way I combat that is I just keep my windows really clean, so I'm not looking at it while I'm driving.
Sure.
I look at videos online to figure out how to best clean glasses, right? Because I always wondered to myself, if you take water on the inside of your glass, uh-huh. and I'm just kind of science nerdy enough to look this up, and that's why I got hooked onto this.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to tell me, but I would go on the inside of my glass and I would wipe it down with water first, like with a wet rag, and I can see the swirl of, if you look at the right angle, you can see the as I like to call it, the petroleum swirl, right? The different colors of petroleum. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then I'll take the alcohol and I'll rub the alcohol on that and I'll see that go away.
Yep.
And I'll go, okay, so there was some kind, there was a petroleum on this.
Yep.
And somehow I've wiped it away with the alcohol, and then I come back with the ammonia, and it really clears it up.
That's right.
Now, everyone's going, where's this guy going with this? Well, here's where I'm going with it.
Including me.
Okay.
Yeah.
A guy online was explaining what happens is the gases from the plastics on your dashboard or your seats or any of the other textiles in your car, when your car gets hot, it releases the gases from those textiles, and that stuff ends up on your windshield, which means it's in your car all the time, right?
Yep, yeah.
You know, we sit around and worry about secondhand smoke. Should we be more concerned about this?
Possibly. I mean, the problem with smoke is there's all these additives and all these other things. So I don't know if you can say that we should be more concerned about one or the other, but we should definitely be concerned about this, you know, in the cars for sure. And yeah, it is the oils, right? I mean, like I said, these artificial estrogens, they're oils, right? They act like oils. They call them lipids,
right?
Because they float on water. And so, you know, water does, when you wipe it with water, right? Water, oils don't go into water, right?
So, right, they don't mix.
So, but ethanol will actually pick up, you know, like even just any kind of ethanol or like ammonia, like you talk about, that can pick up oils. So yeah. Whether it's oils from your fingers touching the windows or oils from the phthalates, right, or from the artificial estrogens, BP, benzophenone, yeah, they're leaching. Studies are out there.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, lately my Jeep has been sitting around, my little Toyota Jeep has been sitting around a lot more because, you know, I've been driving the new car, right? So it sits out in the sun, and when I go out there to clean the inside of that glass, ammonia, just ammonia by itself will not clean it, huh. Right?
Sure.
It will, but you got to rub a lot on. That's why it's better to go, you know, to wipe it with water and then go back with the alcohol and then follow up with the ammonia. Because, and I'm saying to myself, wow, it took all of this chemical to get that chemical off.
That's
what's
right.
it doing to the inside of my lungs?
Yep.
And,
yep.
you know, is that stuff hitting my alveoli or alveoli, depending on which scientist you talk to? And yep. is that getting into my bloodstream? And is that going to eventually kill me? Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. It's perfect. It's a definitely legitimate concern. I mean, your lungs have so much, you know, blood vessel, in quote unquote, innervation that, you know, that's what they're for, right? They're for delivering oxygen. So the surface area is huge, you know. So, yeah,
right.
it definitely delivers that stuff into your blood.
So the next question would become, well, should I drive with my windows down? And then you go, well, if you're on the freeway, sitting on a freeway in L.A., you're now getting all the gases from the other cars, right? So
yeah.
that can't be good. So basically, in my mind, we're fucked as a society, right?
Well, at least in that. I mean, with the cars, you know. That's one of the reasons I wrote this book is because people aren't talking about artificial estrogen and they should be. And, it, you know, like people are, like I said, people are talking about BPA a little bit. There's a few of them people are talking about, but they're not even, they don't even recognize they're bad because they're acting like artificial estrogen. So they lower your testosterone, they cause infertility, all these health problems. And, you know, I mean, that's the issue is education. So, like, if the car companies knew this and if people were vocal enough about it, they would take the phthalates out of those plastics in the cars, right?
And I think that's what they replace it with.
I mean, it worked with the lead paint, right? People raised awareness. They recognized, yeah, lead is not bad, not good for you at any level, right? And
right.
they got rid of it. And I think they can do that with these plastic chemicals and a lot of these other artificial estrogens, like red dye. Red food coloring is another one. Artificial estrogen. People don't know it. It's absurd that it's in any of our foods. It's illegal in certain places, not in the United States, but in other countries like Japan. And it's illegal because it's estrogenic.
Well, look, I don't want to turn this into an infomercial for my own vitamin company, but you know, you mentioned a few minutes ago, and I kind of stepped right over it. You were talking about using titanium or dioxide for sunscreen,
yep.
and some of this stuff.
Oh,
which
zinc. I said zinc. Yeah,
zinc. Well, zinc is the same. It's a close cousin, right, to what we're talking about here.
Well,
is any of that stuff good for you?
Well, I mean, zinc is an essential nutrient. I mean, titanium not so much, but zinc. You know, if you're putting zinc on your skin, you're fine. But if you're putting artificial estrogen on your skin soaks that up. It's like putting cortisone on your skin. You know, that stuff goes, these hormones can go right through your skin. Right.
And often do. So,
yeah.
All right. Now, you know, you're talking about red dye. The only reason to put red dye in any food is to make it a desirable color.
That's right.
Is that correct?
It's just superficial.
Right. So, you know, that should tell you something. If the food doesn't look right without coloring it, maybe you shouldn't be having that food to begin with.
Yeah, and they're sneaking it. Vinny, you wouldn't believe, they put it in salmon fillets sometimes. I find it.
Oh, we talk about that all the time.
It's
they color salmon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, when we created Pure Vitamin Club,
yep.
I looked at everything. I went, okay, why is titanium dioxide in most vitamins? And they only do it to whiten the vitamin, to make it all come to a white color, so that then they could put
sure.
an orange color in. They could yep. put dyes in to make it orange because most people would find an orange vitamin desirable. I'm not making this up, by
I
the
way. I
believe
you. Yeah.
So first they whiten it and then they turn it to a color. You know, that's why when you take Pure Vitamin Club vitamins, they look crappy brown color or something.
Yep.
You know, because there is nothing in it other than the nutrients, the vitamins,
that's
and
right.
some minerals. Right.
Yeah.
Yet most companies won't do that. You know,
yep.
they won't, you know, they just can't get to that level. They'd rather kill people and people are happy to let them kill them.
That's right. No, I know it's frustrating. I've seen your vitamins. I like your vitamins. I looked at it and yeah, it's really obnoxious. Right. I mean, especially when they're not even adding these things to the labels a lot of times, like in the soaps or other things like the fragrance. They use this term fragrances on a lot of soaps, and they've got parabens in there, right? Artificial estrogen.
Right.
So they're sneaking things in there, not even putting it on the labels a lot of times. I mean, that's what gets really frustrating.
Can you look at my soap? Do you have a computer open where you are?
Yeah.
Because I use a soap. I've been using the same soap for years.
Okay.
It makes me smell like a manly man. It is called Grandpa's Pine Tar Soap. I use the original formula.
Okay.
And it's basically soap made of pine tar. And I'm wondering if there's anything bad in that.
Okay. So I'm looking up the ingredient list right now.
Oh, good. And by the way, folks, I have no association with Grandpa's Pine Tar Soap. While you look that up, let me tell folks about bone broth because, they're paying for this as well as Villa Capelli. Bone broth. Look, I talk about it all the time. I love bone broth. We make a lot of bone broth because between Serena and me, we go through a lot of it. But then all of a sudden, a guy started sending me bone broth because he was a big fan of what I do on the Adam Carolla show, and he started sending some to me and a little bit to Anna, a little bit to Gina Grad. I think he actually might have even sent some over to Adam Carolla. Anyway, I love the stuff. Started talking to him, Gary Stevens. He owns a store called greengrocerdallas.com, and he makes this bone broth in his health food store. The stuff is amazing. He ships it right to you. It comes to you frozen. He ships it in a refrigerated styrofoam box, and then you can use that styrofoam box for anything. We actually, Serena was running this weekend. I took that styrofoam box and used it as a cooler while we were out in the desert out near Las Vegas. But I'm not talking about the box here. I'm talking about the product. He has both beef bone broth from naturally grazed cattle, organic cattle, and also free-range chicken bone broth. You could get either one. You could get a combination. He can only ship it a gallon at a time, but you get 4 quarts, so you could get 2 chicken and 2 beef or 3 chicken and 1 beef or any combination that you want. GreenGrocerDallas.com. You want to get 10% off, save a little money, put in the promo code Vinny, V-I-N-N-I-E. Again, once again, don't put the wimpy Y on Vinny because then you won't get your discount. GreenGrocerDallas.com, promo code Vinny, V-I-N-N-I-E. I love the stuff. Gary Stevens is a great guy. He's going to be coming out here to L.A. soon, and I can't wait to meet him. So go check that out, GreenGrocerDallas.com. Okay, we're sitting here. We're talking to the guy who wrote the book, Estra Generation. He's a PhD. He's a smart guy. His dad's a doctor. He's a doctor. He's got a PhD in biochemistry. Anthony G.J., or as I like to call him, Dr. J. What did you learn about my soap?
That's right. It looks good. So you can breathe a sigh of relief. I looked at all the ingredients.
Okay, so I can use my soap. I just can't drive my new car so far.
Not for extent. Don't live in your new car, yeah.
Oh, I've been living in it.
Yeah.
I have literally been living in it. I'm getting ready to take a road trip in it. So let's say I'm taking this road trip. Should I just keep the windows down?
It helps, yeah. I mean, that'll take out some of the estrogen, yeah, artificial estrogen.
Okay, I'm getting ready to take a long road trip in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to ride, I'm going to do 2/3 of the trip with the windows down. And, you know, it's got a removable target top. I'm going to take that damn thing off, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that helps.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll see if I can air my car out a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, the soaps, it's weird, Vinny, because I go to, you know, the store and I look at all the soap ingredients, and yours is definitely good. And it's amazing how many are I don't appreciate, I don't approve of. You know, some of them even have red food coloring in the darn soap, you know?
Why?
It kills me. Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense. I started using, you know, I'm a little hippie. I don't use regular deodorant. Ooh, let's talk a little bit about deodorant. You got any news on that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, we were talking the other day. I think we use the exact same stuff. I even, on my consulting company website, I have, it's ajconsultingcompany.com/. Yeah. It's / what I use, all one word, and that kind of shows which products I personally use. I don't have any financial affiliation with any of them. I just use them. And I use that Schmidt's deodorant. And again, I think that's what you use, yes?
It is. I use, right now I have the bergamot Schmidt's. Yep. Before that, I had the one that smells like wood. I can't remember which wood it smells. I just switch them up every time.
Yep.
And I find that here's the crazy thing about Schmidt's. And by the way, I tried to get them as an advertiser at one point, and I think they may come on at some point. But as of right now, they're not an advertiser on the show. So I'm just talking. I'm telling you guys, I like the stuff.
Yep.
It works as well or better. Would you agree with me as you know, Mitchum or any of the stuff I used to use.
That's why I use it. I've literally tried at least a dozen different ones without, you know, without all the junk in them. And it's hard to find a deodorant that actually works that doesn't have artificial estrogen and titanium, you know, aluminum and all that other stuff, you know. So, yeah, I've actually got the same one there, Schmitz.
I'm looking at your thing. Where do I find what you use? It says Unlock Your DNA, new book, YouTube. Oh, okay, yeah.
So ajconsultingcompany.com, yeah. And then if you just type in the backslash, and then just spell the words what I use, and all, like I said, all one word, it'll come up there. I don't really, you know, I have a link to that page under my book tab. But it's better if you just type in what I use, right?
Yeah, I can't wait to go check that out because, you know, you seem to be more of a nerd about this than even I am. And I'm really nerdy about this.
Well, people just ask me all the time, right? Because, you know, the soap's got alkyl phenols and, you know, they got estrogen in the soap. They've got estrogen here. They got estrogen there. So finally, I just made this page because now I can send something to people and say, oh, look, here's what I'm using. It maybe isn't perfect every single one, but it's, you know, it's good. And at least you're not lathering estrogen all over your body.
and look, that's the other thing. Let's talk about that because, number one, I don't shower every day. I know that might sound gross to people. And I'm going to be even more precise and gross. You know, if I, you know, when I go to the bathroom I will go in the shower and, you know, clean out, you know, as Serena would call it, just do a giblet wash. But I don't believe that our skin should be just run over with soap every day. And even when I do get in the shower, I don't ram soap all over my skin. I just do the pits and parts. And I actually use the same soap for my hair. I use that same Grandpa's Pine Tar, the bar, and just put a little bit in my hair. And it works perfectly. What say you?
Yeah, I don't have any issue with that. I mean, your skin definitely has probiotics and they're healthy. And I mean, it's the, you know, they say it's the largest organ in your body. And, you know, I mean, literally, I think people are carrying around a pound of bacteria. So, you know, you got to sustain the bacteria. I do the same thing. Of course, I don't know if you saw me on the Skype a minute ago, but I've actually just shaved my head. So I don't even have hair.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You know, and, you know, back when I used to do my bicycling stuff, I would just take a number one clipper. You know, whenever I'm doing the long races, I don't have time to keep dealing with my hair. So I would just take it down to a number one, as they call it, or a number two, and just leave it there. And, you know, who cares? You know, who cares? Because that's a look now. You can do that as a look. and, you know, people always say, well, you don't use shampoo? No, I don't. Yep. Serena does, and it's got 20 different smells to it, and she uses soap that has different smells to it.
Yep.
And I look at that and go, okay, these aren't even real natural smells. These smell like chemical to me.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff, you know, these hand creams and everything with these smells, you know, these perfumes.
That's right.
It can't be good for you.
That's right.
So I'm glad you and I agree about that. Now, I want to get into something. I want to switch gears a little bit.
Good.
You got some time for me here? Can we do this?
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about, because every day on the Twitter, people write to me and they go, hey, what about this? What about that? And I'm always telling them, you know, because they'll bring up studies. With, you know, this Harvard study said this and this Yale study said that. And the New York Times is reporting this. And I'm always saying, consider the source. Consider the source. Look at what, you know, who's doing the studies, who's paying for the studies. Yeah. You don't even have to do a very deep dive to see that if they're telling you sugar's good for you, that Coca-Cola might be behind it.
Yeah.
My good friend Nina Teichel, she just came on the show again recently, and she was talking about that. She was like, oh, yeah, Harvard and all these universities, you know, these scientists are, you know, they're bullshit artists. They will write whatever these big companies want them to write.
Yeah.
What say you on the subject?
It definitely happens. I mean, it actually starts with the grant writing process, right? So most scientific research is funded by U.S. government grants, right?
Right.
It's through the NIH. It's called the National Institute of Health. And so you have to write these grants, and then you have to get them approved by who else but committees of people that, you know, are essentially on board with the food pyramid model and all these other things. And so it kind of ends up, you know, sometimes ruining the careers or just diminishing, you know, the quality of the research because they have agendas, right?
Right.
And here's the other thing. A lot of people don't know this, but when you publish, so I've published a few peer-reviewed scientific journal papers, right, in like Biochemistry Magazine and these other technical journals. And when you go online to submit your research paper, you tell the journal who should peer-review your paper, all right?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like I literally pick five people that are quote-unquote professionals or whatever, peer-review, and they go with those people, and it's not anonymous. I mean, when I want you to peer-review my paper, right, Vinny?
Okay.
I put your name down. Obviously, they wouldn't pick you because you don't have a PhD, but, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's PhD scientist, but essentially you can stack the deck, and you literally have to put somebody in those positions on the internet, on the form when you submit your papers and say, so I put you on there, right?
Right.
Now when you get the paper, when you get my paper from the journal, you see my name on the top, right? Like, you know, it's me.
Right.
See? So how biased is that, right?
Oh, it's going to be completely biased. And no matter what someone says,
yeah,
you know, you're going to, you know, and that's going to, you know, taint. I said taint. That's going to taint your ability to be completely honest.
Yeah. Yeah. And people in science, it's kind of like a dirty little secret almost in science. People talk about it, but they always, like, the discussions that I've had about this is the people that teach me, you know, at the PhD level, they say, well, you have to see the credentials of the people that write the paper so they can't be anonymous. And the grants is the same thing. You know, grants should be totally anonymous, right?
Yeah.
Like when you submit a grant to get funded for a scientific study, there shouldn't be any names on it or anything, but all of that stuff is on there, right? The people that see your grant see who wrote the grant and whose lab it is and all the politics and all that, you know, all that. And so obviously that should be anonymous. It's not. And it's a huge problem, I think. And it, you know, there's other problems, obviously, too, in terms of people putting spin on the final products. You know, like, in other words, like soy is a good example because – you know, you see scientific papers that say, oh, soy is good, right? And then, of course, you have 100 other ones that say soy is bad. It increases breast cancer and weight gains and all these other problems, which I obviously talk about in my book. But, you know, how come there's studies that are supposedly positive about soy, right? And it's because,
right.
It's because people, you know, essentially they're biased to begin with and they're finding one isolated positive thing, maybe in a mouse model or in some cells or whatever, and then they blow that out of proportion and they ignore all the other negative problems. You know, for example, bone density is one. So if you're in elderly people, bone density is a tiny bit improved if you have a lot of soy, right? At least phytoestrogen from the soy, right? These estrogen.
Okay.
And
sure.
So I have a paper. And the scientific paper, and essentially they're saying, oh, soy is unbelievable. You know, like, they're not really saying it exactly like that, but that's how it's coming through professionally, is they're saying soy is beneficial and healthy and all this because it improves bone density. And the improvement is tiny, so who knows, you know, how genuine that is if they repeated the experiment. But more importantly, they're ignoring breast cancer risks. They're ignoring, you know, they're ignoring a host of other problems, right, that are increased from the soy. There's like six problems, health problems. And it's just ridiculous. And it's just complete bias, right, from the lab.
Well, look, you might see, you know, people are always asking me on Twitter, what about soy this? What about soy that? And my answer is, I'm not a fan of soy at all. And then people come back and go, why? And I'm always saying, I have 140 characters here. I would need about 10,000 characters, you know, in order to explain to you why soy is bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll go, well, why does soy get such a good rap from everyone except you? And it's like, because vegans, you know, as I always say, and I have nothing against any vegan. You know, I just look at things, you know, like you, I look at things from a standpoint of, is it good, bad, or otherwise?
Right.
And veganism, and Dr. Drew loves when I say this, he chuckles like a kid every time I say this. Veganism is a convenient way to have an eating disorder and not be judged for it. You can just say, oh, I'm vegan. You know, if you say, look, I never eat meat, I stay away from this, that, and the other thing, that's an unhealthy diet. right? Yet, yeah. You know, vegans do that on a daily basis. So now, in order to be at least somewhat of a healthy vegan, you must find fats somewhere else, and you must find protein somewhere else. So then we end up with stuff like soy or soybeans, because there's a little extra protein in soybeans. The other one is quinoa. It's a grain that's got like an nth degree more of protein in it than the other crappy grains, right? Right. So they hold that up as, oh my God, quinoa is the best stuff in the world. Oh my God. And you know, as you know, may not know, I'm in the Urban Dictionary for the phrase fuck quinoa. Okay. And you know, and I feel the same way about soy. Fuck soy. Put that in the Urban Dictionary, folks. Yeah. You know, the bottom line is soy is not good for you. And that's my opinion. I would like your opinion. What do you think of soy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, I just focus on the phytoestrogen content, right? And just that alone is enough of an argument to say, look, you should not be eating soy. I mean, the estrogen, so like, there's a good study. It's over 100 plant items, like food items, and they looked at phytoestrogen content. So essentially, phytoestrogen just means plant estrogen. Estrogens that plants create, they create, you know, these hormones that act like estrogen in humans, right?
Right.
And this study showed that soy had about 160,000 micrograms of phytoestrogen per 100 grams of soybeans. Okay, just remember the number 160,000, okay?
Right.
And flax, by the way, had about 300,000, so it also has extremely high levels of phytoestrogen. And then every other plant that they studied was under 1,000. So like chickpeas are another example. They had about 9 micrograms of phytoestrogen. So yeah, 100,000 when soy compared to 9. Right. I mean, it's pretty obvious that that's a huge health problem in my book. And then there's all these other problems with the bad fats. Right. And, you know, I mean, you probably know a lot of these other problems better than I do. But there's processing, you know, there's chemicals that they put in with the processing that's end up staying absolutely. With the final product. Yeah. So there's a lot of issues. Yeah.
OK, so soy off the table. You and I completely agree with that.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Now, just your opinion, I'm going to throw you a curveball here.
Good.
90% of all soy and soybean is owned by Monsanto. Would you agree with that? I mean, that's the number that keeps coming up for me.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So Monsanto owns the world of soy. They're basically the Beers of soy. And a lot of it is GMO.
That's right.
Where are we with GMO? We know that genetically modified organisms are not supposed to be good for us, but we don't know why. Is it not good for us? Where do you stand on GMOs?
Yeah, I prefer, I reject GMOs, at least certain ones, right? So GMO is such a broad term that it's kind of this blanket statement, genetically modified, right? And for sure, you should, you know, I mean, the problem is, right? So there's this thing called BT toxin that is essentially a bacterial toxin that they've taken the gene out of the bacteria and put it into corn, right? And soybeans and other plants, making those plants GMO, right? So in other words, the plants secrete this toxin. So when the insects eat the plants, it kills the insects. All right, it literally punches holes in the stomachs of the insects, like a grasshopper or something, and it kills them.
Right.
And of course, the scientists have reassured us, right? Monsanto biased, you know, scientists, they've reassured us that BT toxin doesn't end up in human blood, of course, right? And lo and behold, now we're finding out that, you know, they've got studies with pregnant women and they're finding high levels of BT toxin in their blood, right? And that's one of the biggest GMO essentially, you know, proteins that they're putting into these plants. The problem is, like, say somebody develops a quote unquote good GMO, right? They genetically modify something in some different way. You can't distinguish it because it's all just called GMO. So in my opinion, it's better to just be safe and avoid GMO in general than to just try and distinguish all these fine different, you know, these different categories and all this sort of thing, because it's iffy at best.
Right. And you know, that's the way I try to live, you know, because I don't get it. And I figure that I know a little more than the average bear because I sit here behind this mic and talk to smart guys like you all the time. Yep. Yet I don't know enough. So that's why a guy like me is using Schmidt's deodorant and using pine tar soap. Yep. And I will be taking my long road trip with my windows down in my car, you know. And I know all of this makes me sound like a nut job, and I'm going to start using stainless steel water bottles on my bicycle and when I go out and hike and do all the outdoor stuff. And I know you're sitting there going, okay, Vinny's an idiot and Vinny's doing all this stuff, but I already almost died once. Right. You know, it's like I don't need to almost die or die before it's my time based on, you know, the ignorance that is out. You know, I don't want to be ignorant. And most people go, what does ignorant actually mean? People don't know what that word means today. Ignorant means to ignore. Ignorant, to ignore facts. And that's what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to educate people so that they are not ignorant to the facts. And that's why I love when guys like you come on, Anthony.
Thanks.
If I can, can we, one more little thing, and I promise I won't keep you forever, folks. I want you to know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to Dr. J, not Julius Erving. I'm talking to Anthony G. J. He wrote a book called Estrogen Eration. Give me the name again. Come on.
Estrogeneration. So how?
Yeah, it just does not roll off the tongue. Come on.
Estrogeneration. Estrogen and eration. Because we haven't even talked about epigenetics and how these things can be passed to future generations, but that's a whole can of worms you probably don't want to spend too much time.
We could go into it, but let me ask this question first, and then we could go back a little bit if you want to. Where do you stand, and if you don't have an answer for this, we can move away from it. You know, we're talking around estrogen and all this and all the bad information out there. Mm-hmm. What about when we're looking at cholesterol? People come in, oh, my doctor has me on the statin, And then they'll tell me their number and I'll go, okay, I'm not a doctor, but here's a doctor. I'm going to give you a doctor that you might want to talk to because, in my opinion, you might want a second opinion. I can't give an opinion because I'm not a medical doctor. Where do you stand on all of this cholesterol and all of these statins and everything? Do you have an opinion on that, or should we move on?
No, I have a definite opinion. I'm not a huge fan. I'm not a fan at all of statins, and I think the whole cholesterol thing gets completely blown out of proportion. It's, you know, the studies are iffy and biased, and there's a lot there. Actually, so I'm writing another book on it, on this whole topic, actually. It's called Blubber Brain, all right, because I mean, your brain is pretty much the fattiest organ in your body, obviously, besides fat,
right,
a big chunk of fat, like a fat depot. The brain is the fattiest organ, and one of the most common fats in your brain is cholesterol. So if you're low on cholesterol, right, by inhibiting your body, I mean, that's why your body makes cholesterol, right? Is because you need it's so important.
Anthony, let me say this. I'm always explaining that to people. People say, I need to lower my cholesterol. It's like, why? Cholesterol is not an essential nutrient, meaning if you don't get enough, your body will make it.
That's right.
That's how important it is to life. We need cholesterol for life.
Yep.
And we've given cholesterol such a bad name, and it doesn't deserve that.
Yep. Yeah. Not
go on. I didn't mean to stop you, but
especially in kids. I mean, you talk about vegetarians. That's one of the issues with a lot of vegetarian diets. If you're forcing that on your kids, it can literally alter their brain. You can have brain problems because it's so important for your brain. And yeah, your body can make it, but you should be getting it from your diet as well. And that's the thing. I mean, if you're inhibiting that process with statins, statins inhibit an enzyme called HMG-CoA reductase, which is the quote-unquote rate-limiting step of cholesterol production. So in other words, you have all these steps your body has to go through to make cholesterol, and they use this drug, statin, to inhibit that process, the most important step in that process. And, you know, so yeah, it definitely, I think the biggest problem is the brain, the things that go on with your brain, number one, and then your hormones, number two. But again,
right.
I'm writing a book on that. It's going to come out probably next year.
Would you promise to come back on when that comes out and we could do more of a cholesterol talk?
Absolutely. Yeah, this is fun.
All right, so let's go back a little bit. You wanted to talk about
epigenetics, just really briefly, because the title of my book is Estrogeneration.
Yeah, it just rolls off the tongue, folks. By the way, that book, it is on Amazon, right?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
All right, folks, that book, Tallulah and Our Buzz, we'll put that in the Vinny Book Club, and it will already be an Amazon link. So if you want to go check out the book with the name that you can't pronounce, go to Vinny's Book Club. It'll be right there at the top because it'll be the newest book whenever this show comes out. And we will have that book there for you. So go on, Anthony. Let's talk a little bit about it.
Well, yeah, so epigenetics, right? I mean, and by the way, I've done the Audible version too, so that's out. That just was released a few days ago. But
oh, cool.
Yeah, so people can listen to the book instead of sitting down and reading it. Because a lot of my friends in my age group, that's what they do. I mean, I'm sure a lot more of your friends do that too now. But anyways.
Wait, can I tell you this? A lot of people who listen to this show do that because a lot of them are athletes and they go out and they run and they ride their bikes. And I've even taken to that. I love Audible. Audible is a sometimes sponsor of this podcast because they realize that my audience will listen to books on, I still call them books on tape, but it's books on Audible.
That's right.
And they could get that through Amazon also, right?
That's the Audible copy.
Yeah, you just go to Amazon and, by the way, just click on it. You'll go there from VinnyTutters.com and you could get it any which way you want once you're there. All right, go on. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, epigenetics, I think, is going to be one of the biggest areas in science coming up in the future. And I'm talking maybe like 20 years down the road, but it's only going to get bigger because, we kind of understand the DNA pretty well. And I personally do DNA analysis through my consulting company. And, you can tell quite a bit. You can tell somebody quite a lot about their DNA, but there's marks on top of your DNA, all right, that's called epigenetics. So I usually use the analogy. I think in my book, I use the analogy of musical notes. So like if you have a sheet music and it just says Mary Had a Little Lamb, right? That's just one note at a time, and you can give that sheet music to somebody else, and they can play Mary Had a Little Lamb, right?
Right.
And that's like your DNA, right? You can pass that on. It's pretty much it's the same thing. But here's where epigenetics comes in, is if you put a note on top of that note and play a chord or something like that or play a few notes, that's just the song stays the same, right? Like the DNA stays the same, but now you're changing the marks on top of the DNA, right? And you can pass...
Okay.
And the interesting thing is we're discovering now is you can pass that to future generations. You see?
Really?
Yeah. And that you can change with your diet and your chemical exposure. So these artificial estrogens can change those marks on your DNA and literally predispose you to obesity just from what your parents were exposed to, right? And cancer and infertility, which is, I think, the most important, the scariest one.
I was watching... I was watching this. You made me think of something. It was on Amazon Prime, I think. I think the movie was called Ride with Larry. I'm going to see if I can pull it up while I'm telling you the story.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea was this guy was, he was a cop. This was a documentary. Guy was a cop forever. And... turns out he ended up getting some sort of what did he get? He got Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
So it was a really good. If you ever get a chance, watch this. Ride. I think it's Ride with Larry. Let me see if I can find it here. I'm gonna type it in.
Yeah.
The audience loves when I do this. let's see, Ride with Larry. Here it is. Let's see here. Yeah, Ride with Larry. It's you can watch it on Amazon. You can rent it for like a couple of $2 or $3. I think you would really like this movie. And I think the audience will. I got misty-eyed several times during this thing. I watched it just the other day. It came out in 2016. I was on my spinner, and I like watching documentaries when I'm on my spinner. Mm-hmm. And Larry was a cop, and he was a cop for 26 years. And then he had to retire because he had Parkinson's, and he and his wife moved to South Dakota. And they didn't just show Larry riding his bike across South Dakota and all that. They literally went back and forth to the science community. And the 23andMe group,
yep.
Are you obviously familiar with them. they had him spit into a cup and he did the whole thing. And they wanted, the whole idea was to figure out if this was part of Larry's genetic makeup and whether he had passed it along to his girls or not, who are grown women at this point, or whether he got it, you know, from the environment. And it turns out that the probability is he got it from the environment. And they asked him, you know, they tried to figure out where he might have gotten it from. And they said, well, people who ride in cars for a living, like taxi drivers and cops, people who spend their whole life in a car smelling, you know, sniffing up that exhaust. And as you and I just discovered earlier, it could be from the stuff that's heating up on your dashboard, mm-hmm. right, that you're sitting in.
That's right.
Could literally cause this guy to have, you know, he could have caused his own Parkinson's with his job.
Wow. Yeah.
Right. So is that possible? Is that what we're talking about here? He could have caused a genetic defect in himself.
You can call, well, not a genetic, but an epigenetic. Yes.
An epigenetic. Right.
So it's on top of your DNA. But yeah, I mean, the thing is, what we didn't, I mean, it was discovered through the Dutch famine in about 1940. They had, you know, there was 1 year in the Netherlands where there was a famine and then the famine was gone. And yeah, of course, the babies that were born from the mothers that were exposed to the Dutch famine were smaller and lighter weight. Okay.
Right.
But the children of those children were also found to be smaller and lighter weight, which of course shouldn't happen, right? That doesn't make sense. It's your DNA is passed on, but you know, you shouldn't be a lighter weight because your grandparents were lighter weight. And that's when they discovered this epigenetic connection between your diet. And now I think the hormone, the way the hormones interact with your DNA is even more disconcerting, especially with these artificial chemicals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, and we could sit here and just surmise how, I mean, we could take this to a degree that is beyond, right? If we really wanted to.
I think science will. I mean, it's going to be coming out. That's really why I wrote the book. I mean, obviously now you can see why I called it estrogeneration, you see? Because if you get rid of these exposures, right? These plastics and these phytoestrogens and all these other things, you actually make your children healthier before they're even born, you see?
Wow. Wow.
And that's new.
It's too bad I never had my own kids because I would have had a super kit, right? With my soap and my deodorant.
Yeah.
Makes me think that I never want to buy a new car again and just maybe ride my bike everywhere. But then you could die instantly on a bike nowadays because everyone is texting and driving and there's no way to get around anymore. You know what? We're going to make that the final word here, Anthony, because I could sit here and nerd out with you for another hour, and I try to keep these things to an hour. We've already gone over an hour and 15 minutes. Would you promise to come back again?
100%. Promise.
And I know you have the new book coming out and everything, and you know, sometimes if we just need you really quickly on the Monday show, would you agree to come on?
Absolutely.
Just, you know, if something's in the news and that kind of thing.
Yep.
Hang with me. I want to talk to you off the air. There's going to be some silence because I'm going to probably play some music on the way out.
Okay.
But hang with me. I got to do a few things on the way out. And then there's going to be some silence, and then we can chat and say goodbye. Folks, if you like what's going on here, look, I appreciate it. You guys go to VinnyTortoise.com. Some people do the, you know, we have a little thing where you can, you know, give a donation. It's called Superfan Page. But what most people do is they go to Amazon, they click through at VinnyTortoise.com, they bookmark that. Every time we shop on Amazon, if you go there, it doesn't cost you anything, but it helps us keep this podcast free. I use that money to keep this podcast going. There's several layers. There's Andy Schreiber who works on this podcast. There's Buzz, there's Tallulah, there's Bill Meadows. There's all of these people that have to be paid, and just the upkeep costs a ton. So that's why I beg at the end of every show that you guys don't forget to go to VinnyTortoise.com and click through the Amazon banner before you do your shopping on Amazon. It puts a little coal on the fire, gets our train down the track, and every Monday, Anna and I will pick an Amazon winner, and that winner can get a Fuck Quinoa t-shirt or free Pure Vitamin Club vitamins or Anna's book. Anna gives the book away. So you can be a winner. We pick a winner every Monday. So Amazon, go do that, folks. I want to thank my guest for coming in. He's got a book called Estrogeneration. Go check that out. It will be in a Vinny Book Club. His name is Anthony G.J., or as I like to call him, Dr. J. Dr. J, hang on for just a second as I let everyone listen to the song that's going to be in my head for the next 3 days. I want to fuck you guys up, too, with a little bit more of the Murray Head song.
Check out more podcast episodes on iTunes. Follow Vinny and Anna on Twitter or contact us with your fitness questions at vinnytortorich.com.
Do you like eating ingredients in paint? I didn't think so. But guess what's an ingredient in your vitamin? Titanium dioxide. Nobody wants to eat paint. Instead of eating paint, why don't you check out purevitaminclub.com, the purest vitamins ever made. Vinny Tortorich makes these vitamins. There's a multivitamin and a broad-spectrum magnesium. Nothing but vitamins in Pure Vitamin Club. No paint, no silica, no talc, no titanium dioxide. If you want to buy these vitamins, and I highly recommend you do, go to purevitaminclub.com. They're the best quality vitamins for the lowest possible price. In fact, I've told Vinny he needs to raise the price, but he's not going to. Go check out purevitaminclub.com. You can get a monthly subscription or get them 1 month at a time. Purevitaminclub.com, the best vitamins ever made.
Hey, you guys want to take it to the next level, or maybe you've stalled a little bit in your weight loss? Maybe you want to run a marathon. Maybe your first ultra. It doesn't matter what it is. I do consults. You can go to vinnytortorich.com, look along the right side of the homepage. It'll say, talk to Vinny today. You can sign up for a consult. Just wanted to let you guys know that that's available. Okay, talk to you soon.